Hello and welcome back to Part of Your World. Joining me is Randy, Pandy, Smelly, Kelly, and myself, Christian, which rhymes with nothing. We're discuss yet another barnyard set film, Chicken Little, and Disney's very first fully 3D or digitally animated film. As I always ask, what is your viewing experience of this film, starting with Kelly?
I have never seen it before until now. I'd never wanted to see it. It had never been a film that inspired me. And I think the age, when was it come out? Was it 2005?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would have been 16. So it wouldn't have interested me at that age either. So yeah, I had no experience at all.
Pandy?
Well, I would have been 17 and I did watch it at the cinema. I really don't understand or remember the reasons why. It might have been a date film to go and see, you know, the latest Disney film with a girlfriend and while away the afternoon. I actually watched this one rather than... Anyway. but, yeah, I remember being a fan of Scrubs at that time. And therefore really liking Zach Braff. So the fact that he was playing the titular chicken was a bit of a kind of a draw or a reason to go and see it more than just, oh, it's a Disney film. And yeah, I don't remember my initial reaction to it, but I came away thinking, well, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of Disneyfying of a classic story. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that it wasn't kind of very favorably regarded since then, and then watching it for the first time in, 19 years today? Yeah. And interesting to look at it from objective eyes, and we'll get into it very soon. What about yourself, Christian?
So, again, I'm slightly younger than Kelly, so we've been too old for Disney films, or so I thought at this age, and this wouldn't have appealed to me. I remember, the trailer, I remember seeing a poster for it where he sat in a sort of egg-like chair a la the Men in Black.
Mm.
But no, I didn't see it in theaters. I did see it maybe 5 or 10 years later when I was basically saying, oh, I never saw this Disney film. Let me see it start seeing the Disney films that I hadn't seen in theaters, see what I missed. We'll see whether it deserves its reputation or not very soon. But two things that, Kelly, how is this a very well-known fairy tale in the UK or over there?
Yeah, I remember reading the books when I was little. So it was always started off with Chicken Little just wandering around.
Well, actually, I'm going to pick you up on that. It's usually called Henny Penny.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Henny Penny wanders around and then something bonks her on the head and she runs around going, the sky is falling.
We need to go and tell the king.
Yeah, and they need to go and tell someone and no one believes them to begin with or something like that.
I think they kind of pick up, he picks up, or Chicken Little, whatever gender they aspire to, goes across the land on the way to the king, picking up various people that he's convinced along the way, like Ducky Lucky or whatever.
Goosey Lucy.
And yeah. And then depending on the version being told, it usually ends with Foxy Loxy luring them into their deaths or something bad happening. And it's more or less it's less a tale of don't listen to people. It more kind of satirizes being overhyped. Mm-hmm. As in this story, Chicken Little is actually correct. There is something that fell out of the sky, but the traditional story, it is an acorn.
Yeah, the versions I've seen, it's an acorn, and everyone lives happily ever after. I can't remember the reason why, but that was the storybook that I had when I was little. It was all lovely and fluffy and cute.
Because your mum didn't want you to cry.
Here's a question, was it the ladybird version?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it might have been, actually. I did have a lot of ladybirds.
Because I have heard of that line of books from other British podcasts, and it seems like that's the sanitized children version of something.
Yeah, yeah. Gorgeously illustrated, completely whitewashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we should say this film is weird. It's weird for a lot of reasons, but it's weird because it's actually a remake of an original Disney cartoon adaptation. Because Disney did a version of this around in 1943, specifically as a warning against Nazism. fear-mongering, basically Foxy Lock. The video's on YouTube, but basically Foxy Loxy is this fox that's trying to break into this hen/duck/goose house.
Bird Utopia.
What's it?
Bird Utopia. Utopia. Yeah.
Aviary-topia. And tricks Chicken Little, the young chick, nothing in the sky is falling, and ends up discrediting the leaders by reading from this book, which originally was going to be labeled Mein Kampf, because the strategy he uses is not that dissimilar from what... It was basically a warning against Nazism and, like, demagoguery. And Hitler did say something to the effect of, like, people will fall for bigger lies than smaller ones. So, basically, it actually is a very relevant tale, which could be retold today about, you know, like, people who spread fake news. But this cartoon is also special because the ending of it is very dark. Like, everyone ends up falling for it, and Foxy Loxy ends up eating everybody, even though the narrator assures us that it has a happy ending.
No, it's horrible. Is it the wishbones?
A wishbone graveyard.
Marking graves. It's, oh.
And we watched that with the kids in the room.
Oh, really?
They weren't really interested.
Thank God.
I found it, it's the first time I've seen it, I found it really interesting.
Same here. Pandy, how did you take the original version?
As in the one we watched. Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting mixture of the classic Disney fare with a cautionary tale. And I've not seen too many of that kind of ilk of the Disney genre, like the kind of sending a message or whatever. But yeah, it's effectively done. The kind of characters are well illustrated, and there are some fun little bit of some animation where they were kind of go, bah, 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 and like the dancing chickens and stuff. yeah, it looks great. It tells a good story. I hope it's still relevant today, whereas watch, you could change Mein Kampf for The Art of the Deal very easily.
or
it's a Donald Trump reference.
Or something like Boris's biography. Didn't he do a biography of Churchill or something like that?
How dare you swear in my presence.
Okay. But as for this film, so the director is Mark Dindal, who did who's the replacement director for Emperor's New Groove, which had its own agonizing production history, which we went into, but his idea was to readapt it as early as 2001, where it would have been Henny Penny, or a female Chicken Little, and she would have been voiced by Holly Hunter and going to a summer camp, and where the camp counselor would have been the villain, would have been Foxy Loxy, and there would have been she would have found that there was a sinister plot in store for her hometown. But Michael Eisner, who was still in charge of Disney at the time, convinced Dindal to make Chicken Little a boy, and since because films with female protagonists didn't do well, like Little Mermaid,
Beauty and the Beast, yeah,
Mulan,
a bunch of rubbish.
But basically, conventionalism at the time is that boys wouldn't pay to see films about female protagonists. I mean, this is still well before Frozen or The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. But it was rewritten to be a story about a boy defending his hometown from aliens somehow, and there's
and
many other
cooks involved.
Yeah, many cooks involved in the kitchen, and were 20 zines removed, so the focus would be more on the son father relationship. More on that later. And the ugly duckling was also the sex of the ugly duckling was also changed from male to female.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost at it. We have a lot to get to, but this is also when Eisner demanded the studio move from 2D to 3D animation because Atlantis, Treasure Planet, and Home on the Range had all not been financial successes. So it's the whole if you can't beat them, join them attitude with regards to DreamWorks. So
and I gather there was also those tension between Disney and Pixar. Because Pixar was really on the rise and there was some sort of contract renewal coming up. So Disney wanted this to be a big success so they could kind of have more to bring to the negotiating table against Pixar, who were clearly the front runners in 3D animation. And it seems to have worked, but should it have done? Let's find out.
Yeah. I don't have like a lot of technical stuff, but apparently chicken Little's head consists of over 5,000 individual feathers.
I mean, just like chickens are wont to be.
Yeah. And Zach Braff's facial expressions are actually used to inform his mannerisms. So that I guess that's one aspect of 2D animation that made it over. So, but like half of the 2D animators are given like an 18-month crash course in 3D animation at Industrial Light and Magic. Is there anything else before we carve this chicken up?
Poor chicken.
Yeah, we'll probably kind of come across some points as we go through it.
Chicken Little! What is it? What's going on?
The sky is falling! The sky is falling!
The sky is falling?
Are you crazy? No, it's true. Come with me.
No, the sun. What?
It happened under the old oak tree. I'm not making this up. I know it's here. There's a piece of the sky somewhere. Somewhere on the ground here. It was shaped like that.
It looks like a stop sign?
Yes, only it doesn't say stop, and it's blue, and it has a cloud on it. And it hit me on the head. And it looked like a stop sign.
Well, look, wait, what's that?
Son, is this what hit you?
Oh, no, Dad, it was definitely a piece of the sky.
Piece of the sky.
It's okay, everyone.
Dad, no.
There's been like a little mistake. It was just an acorn that hit my son.
No,
little acorn.
Dad, no.
Quiet, son. This is embarrassing enough already.
Chicken Little, what were you thinking?
Why would you put your town's safety in jeopardy?
How could you mistake a stop sign for an acorn?
But it's a big acorn, Little Fluff.
What did he say?
Big acorn, Little Fluff.
It was a big acorn?
It was an ape throwing coleslaw?
Big acorn, Little Fluff.
Gesundheit! Ladies and gentlemen, it's just gibberish. Gibberish of an insane person.
Oh, come on, Buck! You can't wait and scare us all half to death!
Well, tell you folks, my son, you know, kids do crazy stuff. You have...
Right, so we got a CG Disney logo. We got all these... We got a succession of false Disney, false entrances, including the Lion King nearly redone, and then
yay!
and this is all with Buck's narration. We'll get Buck Cluck.
I love that his name is Buck Cluck. Buck Cluck.
Buck Cluck.
Buck Cluck.
But basically, it's set in this. It's kind of, did you? I don't know if this may over. Do you know the Richard Scarry books?
Yes, with the worm in the car that's shaped like an apple.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd recognize if you saw it.
Vaguely.
Yeah, but basically this is sort of a precode. Well, I don't know if there's like one word for it. Basically, it's like anthropomorphized animals and kind of living in harmony. Sort of precursor to Zootopia, but or kind of like what BoJack Horseman would do. But
yes.
Although without humans. But basically, this young chicken, something hits him on the head and says the sky is falling. He climbs up to the bell tower of this town. The square of it reminds me a lot of the town in Back to the Future.
Yes, yeah, there's lots of that.
Like his old, and obviously everyone goes nuts. The water tower somehow falls. There's a get repeated twice with the rabbits coming out of the stroller.
Indiana Jones, is that what I saw?
Yeah, there was live action Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Nonsensically. There's annoyance I've several times said to him, don't remind the audience of a better movie that you could be watching.
It falls foul of that quite a lot.
Yeah. But eventually his fought the town, like the adults and the other town, including his father and the other town, so surround him and don't believe him. They think that it was an acorn, because apparently, I think it's called Oaky Oaks. Is that the name of the town?
Oaky Oaks.
And he starts talking gibberish, because I think he's like just stressed or like can't explain to himself. Two things before we go further. First of all, since this is the first 3D animated Disney film, what do you think of the look of this film overall?
Oh, it looks a bit odd. There are huge disparity between the well-animated and well-considered characters and their design and their animation, mm-hmm. and a lot of very janky, very similar looking other residents of the town. That it all, we mentioned it, that it seems more like a DreamWorks film than a Disney film. And kind of early DreamWorks as well. This is like they're quite far behind the pack in terms of just general look of a 3D film. Ants kind of looks a bit more realistic than this, because they're trying to get away with a very realistic-ish town, albeit with some kind of cartoony wackiness involved and kind of skews angles and perspectives and stuff. But yeah, it looks a bit weird. Do you agree?
I don't really notice things like that, so I thought it was okay. I agree that it wasn't quite up to scratch, I think, but you know, it didn't put me off.
I think you were more discerning than either of us. But what getting too far ahead? What worked and what didn't for you visually?
The visuals of Chicken Licken himself, Chicken Little, my bad, and the rest of his kind of gang of friends. I think the alien designs are kind of cool and kind of quirky. I think it's mostly the rest of the town, the look of the town and the townspeople. There's kind of like the dog character model. All pretty much the same as of them. And I guess the mayor kind of stands out. And
I love the mayor.
Even the dad's not really kind of, I don't know.
But his name's called Buck Cluck.
I know, he gets away with Buck Cluck. But yeah, I think just the scenery visuals and a lot of the non-well-designed characters, they rub me up the wrong way, baby.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it now. At times I couldn't tell, like the baseball coach, for example. I couldn't tell if he was like a bear or a dog.
Yeah,
yeah,
like things like that. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, or I remember it being, but it's definitely behind the curve. It is like it doesn't look as good as Shrek 2, which came out the year before, The Incredibles would have come out the year before also, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's very stylized, so it isn't necessarily going for realism, but I think in terms of general realization, it's not as good as it should have been.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting looking back now, but at the time, this was, like you say, this is kind of after, say, The Incredibles and after Shrek 2. So they did have a lot of kind of things to work towards. This does not look like it was made in 2005. No. It looks like it was more like, I don't know, 2000 kind of graphics. Yeah, it just didn't ring true. I mean, I guess I didn't mind it too much at age 17. But yeah, it's not aged well, knowing that it came from 2005.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another big thing. You can probably perhaps comment on this better than I, since you're a parent, but... Should we get into Buck Cluck now or later?
We can get into Buck Cluck.
apart from his name, Cluck. This guy's an arsehole. So what they get right with Buck Cluck is he's a single father. He doesn't quite know what he's doing.
He doesn't understand.
And whatever. But the rest of it, apart from his kind of redemption arc towards the end, he just hates the guy. Or I hate the guy. Such a kind of apologist and so kind of
awkward.
Yeah.
I did like him towards the end because he was really cool and helping and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he had to go through an arc.
To begin with, it was that typical father-son relationship. That the father doesn't understand the son. The son wants that acknowledgement. He wants to be proud. His dad to be proud of him. It's that typical relationship that
he's missing.
We get again and again.
Yeah.
So I think it's worse than just that. I think not only is he incompetent or like lost, but he seems like really like when you're embarrassed or your kid or upset with you, you don't say in front of other people, "I'm so embarrassed right now."
Mm-hmm.
No, and I've been, I'm no longer a teacher, hooray, but I've been kind of in and around parents who have kind of said in front of their children, oh, she's so weird, or oh, I'm really worried about them. You think, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are killing that poor child's
self-esteem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And sense of self-worth in the, in face of trying to be keeping up with the norms or keeping up with the Joneses or just embarrassed of them when, yeah.
You need to help build them up, not well, you know rather than me, but you should build them up and rather than, and I mean give them by Sedarian there, but don't take that tear them down.
Yeah,
I mean he's fighting a losing battle, and I'm assuming a lot of this was by design to show just the strains that poor Chicken Little is under, and I think you do sympathise with him more. But it's not a happy narrative. Of
no, the townspeople are horrible. They're all sheep that follow each other.
Some of them are literally sheep.
Yeah, meh.
And we'll get to the bullying also. But it seems like this movie is very mean spirited, actually, towards
Chicken Little. Yeah, you kind of wonder why you should give a toss that the townspeople like him at the end, because they're all assholes.
Yeah, they're all really horrible, and they gang up on this tiny child. Well, I don't know how old it is, but on this child.
Yeah.
And it's that typical, what word am I trying to find?
It's unfair.
Just where everyone follows each other.
Herd mentality, I guess.
Yeah.
Herd mentality, that's the one. Yeah, they're all just following each other. And is that related to the original 1943 Chicken Little, where everyone's got that mass hysteria because they've heard something? I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought the film, just going away from Buck Cluck for a minute, it did approach things head on. So some things it said that was like, in P, it was like, popular versus unpopular, go. And it's like, oh, it's taking some things head on.
Yeah. It's kind of flippant in some regards, as in like,
and, ugly duckling. Oh, you're ugly.
Yeah. Trying not to say ugly duckling. Ha ha ha. And in that way, I guess the town kind of works because you're not really supposed to think too much about them. But then they rely on that to kind of set up Chicken Little as the sympathetic character. And it just is a bit of a disconnect.
We'll get more into him later. But I do think Buck Cluck is in the conversation for worst Disney parents. And I'm even including, like, the step evil stepmother and Mother Gothel and Frollo in that.
Judge Claude Frollo.
Yeah, he's certainly the worst biological Disney parent I can think of. Like, worse than the ones in Frozen.
Yeah. They suck, I'm sorry.
And the fairies.
Oh, don't... Ah, I'd forgotten about them. No, pink! No,
your
blue!
Your friend's the fairy.
Ah, get lost.
But anyway, we jump ahead to a year later when there's a movie about Chicken Little's fuck up called Crazy Little Chicken, the movie.
Yeah, Link and Eva were like, oh, look, that's meant to be Chicken Little. Yeah. We're like, yes.
And I think it's building up to the first day of school. I will say there's a few visual touches I like with, I mean, there's not a lot of world building. I think Zootopia did this much better, but I do like that you see a bear using a goat as a lawnmower. And actually, Buck's car, if you look close at it, it's basically a collection of eggs. You know, they're all like very round, and the seats on there are yellow, as in like a yolk.
And there's the house is like a chicken coop.
Yeah. There's a few like nice touches here and there, but it's here, like, he gives more terrible parenting advice, like, say, you know, lay low and don't be an embarrassment to me.
Like Marlin in Finding Nemo. Sort of.
Kind of. He's...
He's been more...
But at least you can see where Marlin is coming from, because he doesn't want... He's, like, so traumatized by the tragedy, but... Even though he is an asshole and a very flawed parent.
Okay, in which case, more like Elsa and Anna's dad. Conceal, don't feel.
Yeah.
Take all those emotions and just get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Again, I guess, being protective.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's a good point, because Buck Cluck's main thing is like, you're embarrassing, please don't be yourself.
Yeah.
Rather than like trying to stifle something of yourself in order to save yourself.
Yeah, if this were a human, if he was like a more toxically male character, you would say man up.
Yeah.
So,
chicken up.
Yeah, cock up. Anyway, it's a bare naked lady song that plays as he goes to school, right?
It is, and I'm not sure Kel was familiar with the band Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, I do know of them, but it came, we had it with subtitles, because the kids were sort of half watching their tablets and it was louder, and it said Bare Naked Ladies, and I was like, well, that's a little bit rude for a children's film. So yes, but it was a good song.
Yeah, it was okay. I remember the song now, but me and Emma kind of brought this up with Mulan. And you see this in the Super Mario Brothers film. No one's. It always starts with a character fucking up and having to redeem it. And the sequence of him like missing the bus and like using the gum and all that to get to school and like accidentally flashing the cheer squad. Sort of, it felt a little much.
Yeah, getting locked in his own locker by a janitor.
Then we get the classroom with Patrick Stewart getting a paycheck as a sheep.
Translated into mutton. He, ba, she, ba. I kind of like that scene. I mean, it sets up a lot. You've got Patrick Stewart being pompous and whatever, which is just fun. And then you've got basically the main characters that you like and the absolute dickweed Foxy Loxy.
Mm-hmm. And Goosey Lucy.
I guess Goosey Lucy's there as well, yes. And otherwise, it's kind of setting up the weird, quirky humour of the film in terms of, you know, this is important, that's not important. You're an ugly duckling and I'm going to, like, recoil in fear from you because you are ugly.
Yeah. And we get his other sidekicks as well. Steve's on, I shit my pants as a pig.
I shit my pants.
There's a deep cut for an actor listeners.
Rescue Dawn. It's a film with Christian Bale where they get tortured in the jungle in Laos, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And he's in a hole. This is Christian Bale and he needs to poo.
Christian Bale.
And yeah, he's like, I shit my pants. Yeah, that just tickled me.
And we have a goldfish in a bowl. Does he have a name?
Fish.
Fish out of water.
Yeah. And he just gurgles, so, and it's just as childish things on the side.
It comes up with another of the relatively funny jokes in this film, where it's like Chicken Little, Chicken Licken, and Goosey Lucy, Foxy Loxy, Morcupine, Porcupine.
Yeah, that is okay, although it's a very, like, this is like Mean Girls. It's a very like stereotypical like cliquey school environment. So give the young kids something to look forward to when they go to high school.
Oh, don't! I'm not looking forward to that at all. But it's kind of that sort of thing is reminiscent of a series of children's books called Oi Frog, where it's a frog, a cat, and a dog trying to reestablish the rules of, you know, cat sat on mat and dog sit on log and so on. And they rewrite the rule book so that the frog doesn't have to be sat on by
a
dog.
Llamas
sit on pajamas. Zebras sit on lebras. I can't think of what they are. But they kind of did quite a few of these books. And the last one I can remember was called Oi Duck-billed Platypus, where they try to think of something that rhymes with duck-billed platypus. But yeah.
But yeah, then it's the dodgeball scene after this, right?
Yes.
There's not much here other than, again, like Chicken Little and his buddies being bullied, but also Abby. I will say this film does have an excellent voice cast, which I wish had been in a better film, even though they're doing their best. I mean, like Joan Cusack is the ugly duckling.
Yeah, she's great.
Who doesn't love Joan Cusack?
She's in School of Rock. She's their teacher.
Oh, she's amazing.
And Adam's Family Values is the love interest. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, I have, yeah.
You mentioned Zach Braff as Chicken Little. And he's doing his best. We'll probably complain more about Buck. But I will say that I think Gary Marshall was doing the best he could with what he was given. And he's the director of the Princess Bride films and Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Abby's like saying, hey, you have to stand up to your dad. You need closure. Like trying to therapize him. There are no school counselors. Although knowing this town, they'd be just as unsupportive as the teachers and the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd all be really cross with him for being a douche. Well, sorry, for not being popular and big and strong and mighty and good at sports, because that's what's important in American schools.
Yeah. Then, so Chicken Little somehow, what happens? Does he end up, I mean, his homework is covering his bottom half, but does he like end up losing it again?
Yeah, he gets really cross and he goes up to Foxy Loxy.
There's some kind of confrontation, he gets banded about, and it ends up with him accidentally setting off the fire of sprinklers.
Yes. And yeah, which can get you suspended. I don't know about over there, but I know like at my school that somebody pulled the fire alarm and they got suspended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of the water, his pants, his homemade, well, school-made pants
his
fall off.
His algebra pants fall down. And thank goodness his heroic dad, who used to be a really big baseball star, is there to prevent him from being suspended from, again, that guy from The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. What?
Slash the insurance boss from The Incredibles.
Slash Rex.
Yeah.
From Toy Story.
Rex, that's where you know him from. He's the voice of Rex
Toy Story. I recognise his voice.
He was up. Actually, odd enough, he was also the principal in the Goofy movie, and there he's also a dog of sorts.
Mm.
And almost, I think, an even bigger asshole in that film. But even so, it's a very similar film, very similar scene of him chewing out the protagonist's father.
Yeah. He plays that role very well.
Yeah.
Incredulous boss.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Then there's more bad fatherly advice, because Chicken gets the idea of becoming a baseball player just like his dad, even though he's a very tiny chicken. His dad is, I think even in his day, was pretty huge.
Rooster, yeah.
It was enormous cock, sorry.
Hey, ra-da-da-da-da-da.
The dad tries to dissuade him from doing it. And then we get a montage, don't we?
Yeah, we get the sports training montage from all the friends.
Oh, sorry, in my notes there was like another, there's some other song, like when we see Buck Cluck look at a photo of his dead wife.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I don't remember the song, but...
Yeah, it's a slower song, isn't there, at some point?
It's a bit of a sad one.
Yeah. There's another annoyance of the film, and just annoyance I have with films in general, too many needle drops and it even bothers me with the Guardians of the Galaxy films. I think they lean too heavily on needle drops and us getting us invested in the film with them. But what do you think?
I'm unfamiliar with the term. Do you mean as in like...
Like I remember in Suicide Squad, they had they dropped like three songs within the first 15 minutes.
Oh, as in like letting the soundtrack do the heavy lifting?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that on Hey and Act with regard to Edgar Wright films, I would defend Edgar Wright films because he does use songs fairly well. However, he does kind of lean on like this is the perfect song for this scene rather than letting the scene speak for itself.
Yeah, I think Edgar Wright, at least in Hot Fuzz, is the exception for me that's used more artfully there. But I feel like this film was relying a little heavily on them in places.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say with regards to Runt of the Litter, as in, like, they want to sing a song, he goes, what? I will survive, and then the song can come on, because he's just been reminded.
Is he, yeah.
Deus Ex soundtrack here.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a typical baseball montage with... I'm trying to remember a few things. There's one where... He throws the ball and it bounces off of Runt of the Litter because he's a big fat pig, so he's a great thing to bounce off of.
He's doing bench presses of donuts.
Oh yeah, but Foxy Loxy ends up basically being his generation's Buck Cluck, like being like the champion baseball player of the team, and they're rising the ranks. But somehow Chicken Little is, like, never brought up to... Well, the coach discourages him also. He gives him, like, a mitt instead of a catcher's mitt.
Mm-hmm.
Cards on the table, I'm not a big baseball fan, so I this didn't really do a whole lot for me.
But you're American.
I'm not
like, we all love football because we're British.
It's not even a thing here, is it, baseball?
Not really.
I've never seen it anywhere.
A good game of rounders.
Yeah, we do rounders.
Right at a campfire. Yeah. Rounders is like baseball, but faster.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's one of my main problems with it. I think they actually have sped it up in recent years, but like baseball is, like at least in my mind, is interminable. You have to for me, again, investment in baseball, you have to make it really interesting in another way. If you're doing a film about baseball, it has to be about something else, like the Jackie Robinson film 42. It's less about the baseball than about desegregating the baseball league.
Or like Brewster's Millions.
Yeah. I've not seen that film, but I get your point.
Brewster from Animal Crossing.
No, Richard Pryor, not a pigeon who serves coffee.
I do like Harry Shearer as the sports announcer.
Yeah, that's funny. He's the guy who does lots of voices in The Simpsons, like Mr. Burns and Smithers. He was doing the kind of commentary, oh no, it's Chicken Little, oh no, we're all going to lose now. Yes.
And like how he admits it's really the whole thing about it. He pretty much says the whole point of the game is to win and to about the joy of gloating about winning.
Yeah, and that's another sort of head hitting, being very, we're just going to directly challenge something.
Yeah.
You tell the children the opposite, usually.
Subtle as a brick.
Yep.
Did you clock the name of Harry Shearer's character?
I missed it. What was it again?
Don Bowowser.
As in, he's a dog. Bow wow.
Ra-da-da-da-da-da.
I was going to say, this film does love its bricks. It loves its bricks.
Yeah, may as well be building a house.
Anyway, somehow there's like the seasonal final, whatever, Oakey Oaks against, was it the Taters something?
I'd missed that. It was meant to be some big local rivalry.
Yeah,
although looking at the team, I can't really see why, because one of them's completely disinterested, one of them's eating the grass, and one of them's going for a burrow.
Yeah. So they must have had even suckier players than Chicken Little before. But basically they're playing their Shelbyville, and for some reason all the players but Chicken Little have been played out or injured, so he has to. It's like, I think 14-13 or something like that, and the visitors are ahead, and he strikes out twice and then hits the ball and basically makes a, after going in the wrong direction initially, he makes the run. Although he's the usher, the umpire, or whatever, judges that he's safe at home base or whatever. He's had this miraculous win that seemingly made his father proud of him at last.
Yay, he won!
Everything's come good.
Redemption.
Everything's coming up, Chicken Little.
Everything's coming up, Little.
Then we at home, he ruins Queen worse than I did when I did a drunken karaoke of Bohemian Rhapsody. About 10 years ago. Saying, I am the... I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to imitate him singing, I am the champion.
It gives a bit of creativity to Zach Braff to kind of show off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then there's another awkward father-son talk. Buck just being evasive and... as you would say, I don't know if this is... I think we had a discussion a while ago. The term wet is used in British English.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck is a very wet father.
Yes, very much so.
Very ineffectual. Then he looks out. Chicken Little looks out the window again. There's a wishing star, as if there weren't enough of those in Disney films.
It's going back to that wish upon a star, isn't it?
Yeah, but then a piece of the sky actually falls again, and he says it's in the shape of a stop sign, but it's hexagonal rather than octagonal.
So even Elmo and Jack Black know that.
So this is where I was getting Truman vibes. And I was wondering, the Truman Show, I was wondering if if Chicken Little was going to go that way and we'd find out that they were all in some sort of weird...
simulation?
Cage, something or other.
I mean, that would be a really interesting film. Mm. They realise, hang on a minute, animals don't usually live in houses and what's going on?
And they have to face the real world.
But, oh no, it's just a misunderstanding because families...
Oh, it's just a hologram. Shielding technology.
So it turns out that because this guy seemingly is falling, the sort of hexagonal panel that is able to camouflage itself. I think Buck hears it like coming down and basically he's hiding it. I think, I don't know if I was just going to a dirty place here, if they're actually going this, but it's almost like a teen boy hiding the porn or hiding something from their parents.
Yep.
Nothing to see here, Dad.
How did you get there? Yeah. Where? What?
It's nothing. It's just porn. It's definitely not the sky.
Yeah. And then we cut to Runt doing Wannabe. Did you like this, Pandy?
I loved it.
Yes.
It was Runt and Abby doing a wonderful duet, which is kind of cut short by Chicken Little inviting them or telling them that, oh my God, what's going on?
I remember doing something very similar when I was younger to the Spice Girl movie with my friends. And we'd each take a Spice Girl and we'd be there singing away.
Singing into your hairbrush.
Saying every single line because we knew it off by heart.
Which one did you play?
Usually Sporty Spice.
Okay, that's not the one who's friends with Liz Truss. Which one's that?
Well, I don't know.
Jerry Halliwell's the one who's most outwardly Tory, I would say.
Victoria is... Which one's Victoria Beckham?
She's the wife of David Beckham.
Posh. No. What's her spice handle?
Oh, Posh.
Posh, okay. Dude, do you know the Spice Girls? Which one is... which one's Sporty Spice?
It's Mel C.
Okay.
Melanie Chisholm. I said Chisholm.
Okay. Somehow they ended up talking about pee. How did that happen?
I don't remember that.
So
it made the kids giggle. They go over to Chicken Little's house. Or was it before? No, it was on the phone, wasn't it?
They got hit by... Something came out of the sky and it was frozen pee.
Yes.
That was something that happened in the past.
And he's like, stop talking about pee, and they keep saying different words for it, like wee-wee and pee and stuff. And the kids loved that bit.
Mm-hmm.
They laughed and laughed. Like talking animals, discussing urine. You know, it's the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it worked, obviously. It made them giggle. Mm. But they come over. They see the panel. I do like that scene where Chicken Little is showing off or like demonstrating. Actually, no, before that even, when he's kind of got the panel and he's kind of exploring the functionality where like you can lay it down, it takes a couple of seconds, but then it will take a sort of snapshot and then you put your arm there. It will do the same thing, but with the arm, take it back, it's still there. It was a well-animated scene, well-paced, well-done, and there aren't very many of those. It was just a subtle one.
I find the pace in part of this film quite slow. I think things can be done faster and it drags out a little bit.
Well, it's because...
Like the dodgeball scene dragged out a little bit.
It's because there is zero plot to this film.
It's a plot sandwich or plot salad. Like things are just like jammed together.
Yeah.
Smashed together.
That's true. And then very, very slowly stirred.
Yeah. Anyway, the panel glows glowy after the fish screws around with it and he ends up going to the mothership, and they get up to the alien ship somehow. How did it from the baseball field? How do they end up there?
I don't remember actually.
Did they do it from the clock? Oh, are they sucked up?
Yeah, isn't there a twister and they get sucked in? Is that bit?
I think no. They land at some point. Is it that the baby falls out and then they land? They watch the aliens go away and then they sneak aboard the ship.
Do they
come across the baby on the ship?
Oh,
I think they see the aliens come out, and the aliens are. I will say the aliens are one of the more originally designed things in this. They're world the world's like, but they have like Doc Ock arms and
yeah.
They see fish on the top of the spaceship in the glass bubble.
Mm-hmm.
they see fish in there, so they go into the spaceship to find him.
Right. And I guess they would have landed because they went to go and get the acorns.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, there is a twister. They land on the baseball field, and whilst they're out, they then nip inside and try and find their friend Fish.
And they come across the little alien dude.
And yeah, little Kirby. So,
you know what Evie was saying? I want to draw Kirby. I was like, I was going to go and get the amiibo.
Yeah.
To draw Kirby.
It's not the Nintendo pink blob.
No.
It was some sort of goatee beard that had been shaved off with three eyes.
Like a little flame with blue eyes and four legs.
It was very cute.
What's that name of that monster in Looney Tunes cartoons that's basically hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I know the one you mean. He's like, he's red.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
That's kind of his uncle.
He's a friend of Cousin It.
Kirby is cute, I will say that. So there's one redeeming feature of this, and I like that he has like baby talk or slash an alien language when he does speak. But anyway, the alien, his parents do eventually arrive, and they think that they've kidnapped their son, and they're obviously pissed off, and are trying to, like, there's a sequence with Chicken Little in the door.
Oh, this is after, by the way, they'd found a big map of the solar system.
Oh yeah,
all
oh
the
yeah,
they're planets leading up to there crossed out.
Yeah, so they think like their planets are next to destruction.
Yeah, they think invasion.
Mm-hmm. There's a big chase throughout the ship and then through the cornfield with the signs reference.
Yes, I like that. That was funny.
Yeah. At what point does the pig choke on a bag? Because that's
on board the ship.
That made me laugh so much.
It's the first time or one of the first times you see him kind of singing as a coping mechanism or like showing that he's one with the music.
Yeah,
he sings Staying Alive.
Yeah. And I like that the aliens, they move around on like the sort of Doc Ock legs, but they also use them like helicopter blades when they're slicing through the corn.
Yeah.
But eventually, Chicken Little and the protagonist, they go up to the bell tower again, and using like the soda machine. And obviously, I did kind of like Run to the Letter, like losing his crap with the soda machine.
Yeah, quick, get the dollar inside. No,
I did mention to Evie about how it was a cornfield cliche, because whenever aliens are mentioned, there's usually a cornfield.
We got to explore the word cliche with our 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's dining out on these cliches and referencing them a lot, which, like Christian says earlier, is kind of a faux pas when you're referencing things that are better. It's like you mentioned earlier that the aliens being well designed, and I absolutely agree. But that is kind of undone later on with the ugly duckling saying, they look like they're out of the film War of the Worlds.
Which came out, the remake came out the same year.
Yeah.
Love that film.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, they,
I've only
and
seen
they
it
wouldn't.
Once, so I might be revisiting it for something later this year. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
But there's another annoyance. There's a flat, like when he's when Chicken Little's back at actually another reference that I can't believe we didn't mention is the soda bottles. It's a reference to Infinity and Beyond. Or is that at the end with Adam West? Never mind.
Probably a bit of both.
But anyway, there's another annoyance. Like I don't know if your kids know this, but sometimes flashbacks feel like they're insulting the viewer's intelligence, and at this point I was so disgusted with the movie that that's how I felt when it showed, like when he's about to ring the bell again, there's a flashback to the very beginning of him ringing the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works for me because it is a kid's film and it's showing that, you know, this is a legitimate reason to ring the bell, but nobody would believe him, but he's going to do it anyway. I didn't mind that too much, but I can understand why it would irk.
Okay, maybe I'm being a little harsh there. But the aliens, again, more references, somehow have an aversion to loud noises, a la the Venom symbiote. So they all, like their like helmets and like eyes sort of vibrate, so they retreat to their flying saucer, and the crowd just misses it, because your favorite character, the mayor, finds a penny.
Turkey Lurkey.
I love the turkey. He's hilarious.
He was voiced. Do you know who voiced him?
I know. It's a guy called Don Knotts, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm only aware of him through the Strong Bad cartoons. Because, they reference him in one episode of the Strong Bad emails. And Don Knotts kept showing up. Really? But yeah, that's all I know him from.
He's an old-timey comedy actor. I don't know from a lot of things. The one role I can think of that he's in Pleasantville, he's the guy who comes to fix the TV.
Yes!
He's like the guy who brings Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon into the 50s.
Yes, he gives him the remote control. That's a great film. I think he'd like Pleasantville. We should watch that.
It is
I
a
like
great
the
film.
Scene with the mayor when he can't talk for himself, basically. He has to be given these cue cards.
Oh, yes.
So that he is staying savvy to his people, really, and saying the right things rather than just what he would like to say. So that's an interesting take.
It's like the mayor in Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have opinions. I'm an elected official.
But basically, the crowd just misses the flying saucer, even though there was this big twist or a noise earlier when it landed on the baseball fields. Apparently, they were... didn't wake up the town somehow, but
it's all because the mayor saw a penny on the floor.
Mm.
Yeah,
politicians like money.
Yeah, and Chicken Little says, "You have to believe me this time." And Buck Cluck is there again. She says, "No, I don't, son," in front of everybody.
Dun dun dun. I mean, it's another failing of the film that it's. It could be a case of, you know, Chicken Little is a troubled young man because he's lost his mum at a young age and whatever. This is a kid's film, so they're probably not going to go too far down the kind of childhood trauma kind of narrative. But there's so much more that could have been done with this rather than the dad just being an asshole. Mm-hmm. It could have been a lot more kind of a, I know you believe this, son, but you're just not right. Or, like, I know you miss your mum. Like... because they showed a picture of the mum earlier, and there was a whole song dedicated to, oh, it's hard being a single dad, and, you know, the estrangement between them. Mm-hmm. It could have been so much better told rather than, well, I don't believe you. That's just the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe even this probably wouldn't be less interesting, but even he said, like, you're not enough games, you have to grow up, or, like, stop lying, or...
Yeah.
Just it would have been a little harsh, but it would have been better than saying, I'm so embarrassed by you again.
Yeah, like there's no difference at all.
Yeah, so everyone walks out on him again.
Yeah.
But Kirby, the alien baby, is left behind. I'm surprised you haven't said hi yet.
That'd be easy.
You could probably do it better than I could.
Hi!
Okay. By the way, the Chicken Little ends up bonding with Kirby, and then sidekicks get together with him, and then is it here where he introduces it to his dad?
No,
that's after the invasion begins, right?
That's later on. He introduces it to his friends who've come over to again kind of tell him you've got to. Talk to your dad about this, whatever, and then there's the alien, and they kind of realize, hang on a minute, that poor baby needs to get home just in time for a full-on alien invasion.
Woo-hoo!
What song do they play, Kel?
Can't even remember.
Oh, she's not a big music fan. It's REM.
Oh.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Did-in, 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 did-in. Cheesecake, Baba Dara, Shiva, yourself, chair, and
I
are different gang.
I do like the Foxy Loxy shows, like a rock at them or something like that, and she gets vaporized.
That's hilarious.
She had it coming.
Kel kind of gasped when it happens, when Foxy Loxy got vaporized. Just because at that point, there's no, like, inkling that...
Happened.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, the bully's been killed. Hooray!
Oh, God!
Wonderful. More children's films need to kill the bully.
That's another thing. This is totally in character, but this is a really douchey thing, but it is in character. I do like that it's Foxy Loxy who's, like, trying to calm down Buck Clark about it. The school bully is actually manipulating the protagonist's father.
So, you hate that character. She's only in like three scenes being completely douchish, but she does her job.
Although this film would have been so much better if Foxy Loxy actually was more like the one in the cartoon.
Yeah.
If she was the antagonist or played more of a role, like whipped up the town's fury rather than just being a...
Like the Gaston of the town.
Yes. Whips them all up. Leads them through the streets with a torch-lit procession.
Yeah.
Kill the alien.
He's a chicken.
Gaston is basically Foxy Loxy.
Absolutely. Because Gaston's fairly foxy. Large semen intake.
Here we go. There was a scene at some point. I think it was during the dodgeball scene where someone swallows three balls.
Oh, it was the stork, I think, or was it an ostrich?
And it reminded me of the picture that Andrew gets excited about in Cinderella with the two mice, where one of them is putting the balls onto Gus's tail.
It looks like they're pulling out anal beads.
Oh, those are the days. We don't make Disney films like those anymore.
Oh, more's the pity. I just love the phrase, I noticed that someone swallowed three balls. What a busy night.
Foxy Loxy gets vaporized and Buck finally says, you are right, and apologizes to his son, way too little, way too late. But when his son says, no, it's a misunderstanding, we have to return the alien baby, he doesn't believe his son again.
Hmm. And then...
they go to the movie theater, right?
Yes.
Yeah, dad wants to escape. Chicken Little says no, and tries to take off to rescue the baby. And in doing so, he uses the clever use of a car aerial to catapult his tiny little stature into the cinema just before, and grabbing the alien before he's hit by a massive truck. Mm-hmm. And that's where they go inside. There's a big kind of showdown between Chicken Little and father, because now's the time to do it.
They finally have their closure.
Yeah. And you're never there for me. And they have that thing. And Chicken Little finds his voice. And the dad kind of realizes that, yes, I've been an asshole all this time.
Mm-hmm. And then they skip off to go and take the baby back.
Earlier, Abby Mallard says to Chicken Little that he's cute or something like that. And then he says, boys at her, I've always found you attractive, and he kisses her, possibly non-consensually.
I mean, she does like it. She does like, and she liked it, so it's fine.
She goes all goo goo.
She raises like her leg.
Yes, like in Princess Diaries.
Although I put in my notes, I hope we don't get this in Zootopia 2, in interspecies romance.
Do you?
I hope we don't.
Oh, we don't. Oh, I see.
I don't want Nick Wilde and what's her name, the bunny.
Judy Hopps. Judy Hopps.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't get it on spoilers.
No.
Who?
The fox and the rabbit in Zootopia.
Oh.
No, they're just good friends.
Hmm. Let's keep it that way. Kirby tries to say something, which I initially thought was pussy time, but it's putita.
And that would be a whole different film.
Imagine you said pussy time and then a cat walks out of a house.
Out comes Gus and what's his name? With the
Lucifer.
Lucifer comes along.
Pussy time.
And it's, they put, this is where they play I Will Survive, right?
Yes, they're in their car. So Runt is like half hanging out the car because he can't fit in.
Yes, they've decided on their plan, which is a funny moment where Chicken Little's plan, right, all we need to do is do this, and you just see Buck's face. And it's a mixture, it's actually quite well animated. It's a kind of a face of, I'm going to smile, because he's my son and he's like, this our redemption moment. But I'm also terrified because this plan is awful.
This is a horrible
and then
plan.
Chicken Little finishes and then we do this. It's like, yeah!
Let's go.
We're going to die. That was a funny bit. But yeah, they launch out knowing that there's certain doom around them, dodging between aliens that seemingly are vaporizing everything. And out comes all the characters driving a fire engine because, of course. And somebody says the words, I know, we will survive. And that sets the pig off with his superpowers because he's inspired by music. And
the power of Gloria Gaynor compels you.
Absolutely. First I was afraid, I was petrified. So yeah, they make it to the town hall. They launch inside. It's worth saying that the ugly duckling is operating the pedals, still kind of besotten with what's just happened to her.
She's holding a flower or something.
Yeah. Like, ah. Hit the brakes. Yeah. and then up the stairs they go with a hilarious "Gosh, these stairs are high" montage,
yeah.
which is the perfect time for it, I don't believe. And they reach the top, and it's another kind of cometh the hour, cometh the chicken, where the dad goes, "No, son, off you go ahead, I'll protect you." And yeah,
Dad's like, "No, not Dad." Chicken Little's like, "But I can do it," and Dad's like, "No," and Chicken Little's like, "Yes, I can." And then Dad's like, I know you can.
I know you can.
It's like, oh, he changed his mind quick.
Mutual respect is achieved.
Mm. They're beamed up to their spaceship then, right? From their galactic tower?
Yeah, they get to the top and then it's a case of, yeah.
They get
vaporized.
Vaporized, yeah.
Seemingly, but they appear on the spaceship and everything's fine.
Yay!
And there
back.
Is everybody. There's Turkey Lurkey.
Turkey Lurkey's alive.
Foxy Loxy is sucking her thumb.
Yeah, disgusting habits. And they ask to, like, big eyes appear. Why did you take our child?
Oh yeah, I love the bit that made me laugh. The big
who's the voice of that? That's Fred Willard. Who you've seen him in Anchorman, Kel?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Wall-E. He's the one human in Wall-E.
Yes, yeah, he's in Wall-E. He's the only human character.
Ah,
the kind of the president of Bymore,
I think.
Yeah,
I've seen him something else.
Have you seen
A Mighty Wind or Bess and Joe or those films?
I don't think so. We're just looking through now. He was in a Scooby-Doo film. That was just a voice. We'll have a look through and we'll decide. But yeah, he's a legendary actor, now sadly deceased. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there he is doing. He's a lovely voice. And Catherine O'Hara is the
Yay!
Voice of the wife.
Kevin?
It's Sally.
And at first he seems to be giant, but it turns out that they're like slightly smaller. They look like they're adult versions of Kirby. They're red and yellow, and their son is orange, logically. And
it
turns out it was a big misunderstanding.
It's all just because, you know, you go crazy to do things for your sons, your family. Hint, awful father.
And Buck Cluck and Chicken Little are like, mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you're like, what? Really?
You haven't been doing this. You've been objectively not that. You've been going out your way to not back up your son. Yeah, as in their father and son bond nearly destroyed the Earth. Yeah, because this is set on Earth.
Yeah.
These are chickens and animals hanging out together on this planet. It's not some weird alternate timeline thing.
No.
It's, yeah, whatevs. And yeah, they undo everything and everything's saved and Chicken Little is the hero.
We should say, I think there's another one, I think another alien, he's blue and he's voiced by Patrick Warburton. He says, oh, Foxy Lockie's brain has been scrambled, but
Bundler
says, oh no, keep her the way she is. He's not old anymore.
Yeah, you know, this child has been brain damaged. No, let's just keep him like that. That's fine.
Leave her
lobotomized.
Yeah, that's a bit morally dubious.
It's a bit
dark, you know.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, Chicken Little is the hero because, in theory, they were going to destroy the entire planet. But because of him, they're not going to.
And he was right all along. Something did hit him on the head.
Yep. So he's completely vindicated on every level.
Well, they even say the thing I have on the head, it's the panel that always like drops from the ship whenever they go to the town for acorns.
Yep.
You really gotta get that fixed. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he uses the big voice on her, and she's like, did you use the big voice on me?
No.
And everyone is left with egg on their faces because it's a chicken film.
I don't get it.
Never mind. When you've got egg on your face. Yeah, anyway.
I've never had egg on my face.
No, it's an expression.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've heard that you're left with egg on your face. What?
Nope.
How have you lived to be 34 and never heard the expression egg on your face?
I haven't.
What? Oh my god. So you thought I was a crazy person just now.
Yeah, so everyone had egg on their face.
And then they start throwing eggs around, which is problematic because there's no female chickens in this entire film.
Does that happen? Does that happen?
So, what?
Did that happen in the film? I'm forgetting.
No, it didn't. No.
That's no.
I'm just working through the logistics of Kel's misconception of the phrase.
Does Christian know the phrase?
Do you know that? No, yeah.
I've heard, I think it is a British phrase rather than an American one, but yeah, I have heard it before.
Okay, well, there you go.
If someone has egg on their face, it means they've walked out of a situation, like, embarrassed or looking foolish.
Mm.
Apparently I have egg on my face right
indeed,
now.
You literally have caused egg on your face.
Ew.
But it was laid by Catbus, so it's all fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cat doesn't lay anymore.
That's
is there anything point. Else before we get to another year later?
Yes, because they're then watching the film, aren't they?
Yes.
The question was, is there anything else before we move on to that? I mean, Patrick Warburton is the voice of Joe from Family Guy. Mm-hmm. That's
Kronk.
A nice little thing.
Oh, hell, Kronk.
Kronk. Yes, Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. Kronk. Yeah. No, I think just everyone goes, hooray, hooray, Chicken Little's also awesome, and then cut to a year later.
When they're in the cinema.
They make the film again. This time it's a science fiction epic. It's very Star Trek, actually. Adam West is voicing Chicken Little as a mixture between one of the Men in Black and James T. Kirk. Like big muscles.
Adam West, the first TV Batman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You probably know this, but he's also in one of the best episodes of Batman, the animated series.
Yeah. The Grey Ghost.
Grey
Ghost, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I need to watch that again. I did start rewatching all the Batman animated series probably about 2 years ago, but I've never got all the way through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're great shows.
Yeah. So he is a bright spot, as little as we get of him and as late as we get him. But we get this very butchered version of it where the aliens are the enemies and Ugly Duckling is like this busty chicken woman, ditzy woman, kind of like Sigourney Weaver's character in the show Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know. I think the science officer is the fish, and like the pig is a warthog.
Yeah,
in
his own ship, and there's the buttons that you reference with the soda bottles.
Yes, yeah.
He's got both the wings. Yeah,
off they go. And they ape one of the lines of pig out of water. No, that's the mixing of two things. Runs of the litter. Earlier on is like, you just leave me here. I'm with some chips. And like they turn that to action dialogue.
Yeah.
You just leave me here with some chips.
Then they end it with Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because of course.
And good times are had by all except for Christian, Pandy and Kel.
Well. Mm.
And Chicken Little and Abby hold hands in the cinema.
The
it's taken a whole
end.
Year for them to hold hands.
Apparently. That's a good point, and neither of them have grown an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay, is there anything else we should bring up before we go with the film overall?
In terms of the plot and everything else, no.
Okay, so what... Having seen this for the very first time, Kel, what do you think of the film overall?
I really liked some of the humour in it. I did laugh out loud quite a few times. I do find that with family films, that they are tailored towards a range of people. So there were some really funny bits in it. I found the pace quite slow at some points. Again, like you mentioned, it's probably because of the lack of storyline and plot. There were some nice moments in it, and I think when Buck Clark and Chicken Little had that moment in the cinema, that was quite a nice moment, considering it was a strange father-son relationship anyway. It's not a film that I would probably watch again, but I wouldn't hate seeing it again. But yeah, I did find it quite funny at parts, so that saved it for me, I think. And I did really like Lurky, and Buck-Clark.
Pam, what do you think of this film now, revisiting it?
It's not a Disney film.
No.
It's such a weird entry in the Disney canon. Mm. And it's a DreamWorks film, like 4 years too late. They may as well have had Chicken Little making that face, the one they used in all the DreamWorks photos.
Well, it was a year after Shark Tale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2 years after it?
Yeah,
I've not seen Shark Tale, but this does seem like, it's Disney trying to be DreamWorks, and B, this is like DreamWorks' worst instincts.
Yeah, and I think it's been ages since I've watched Shark Tale, because that was a film I did watch in the cinema. I thought, this is actually shit.
I don't think I've ever seen Shark Tale.
Oh, you lucky woman.
I saw like a tiny bit of it.
And yeah, I didn't mind this too much in the cinema. I don't know what this has on Shark Tale. I think Shark Tale is objectively bad and offensively bad.
Shark Tale, one of the things about it is that they're like referencing, I mean, there's a lot of nonsensical references in this also, with all the songs brought in and like Indiana Jones and references to other stuff or leaning too much on that, which a lot of DreamWorks films do, but it doesn't have like Will Smith fish or Angelina Jolie fish, or Zach Braff. His character isn't like too close to his character on Scrubs, for example. So it doesn't have that going for it.
I mean, you went into it knowing who he is, and he was kind of the hot actor at the time. So, but it's such a misnomer in terms of just how it's paced, how it's set, the humor of it. They're kind of actively referencing Disney properties as well as aping. I mean, one of the first kind of fake out openings were like, oh no, not the storybook. We're not doing the storybook. That is straight out of Shrek. The whole kind of the book opening. No, we're not doing it that way. It's kind of trying to ape the whole the ad campaign for Lilo and Stitch with the whole kind of, Sylvania, no, we've already done that one kind of thing. But just it's a paper-thin plot which has some nonsensical jokes in there. But what I would say in the film's defense is it's not offensively bad for me. I think it's a film that doesn't really work on multiple levels, but it's animals on a farmyard town telling an old fable with a kind of new imagination or a new interpretation. It could have been a lot worse than it was. It's by no means the best film there that is, but I think we've talked about worse films than Chicken Little. It's I don't want to... what's the opposite of damning with faint praise? Because there's not much nice you can say about it. It's just kind of dull with some chuckles in there and some legitimately funny bits. I think a lot of the kind of best bits come from Joan Cusack's character, to be honest, for whatever reason. And the pig, Steve Zahn, does a great job. Chicken Little as a character is kind of sympathetic enough, and I think that the main core of characters are all right. It's just everything else is a bit rubbish.
Yeah. Actually, going into this, I expected I'd be like ranting and screaming because both times after this, I really did not enjoy this. I enjoyed talking over this film a lot more than actually viewing the film. I have mentioned the good things here and there, things I like, but they're like really insignificant or minor or superficial compared to other stuff. I mean, it does have the okay main characters, and the voice cast is really good in it. I wish we had the same voice cast, but for a better film. Don Knotts and Gary Marshall obviously are no longer with us, and now there's Adam West, so that's no longer possible. But, again, it's very DreamWorks-esque, and I think it in places it is offensively bad, because I think the 8-minute Disney cartoon from the 40s was better than this and had a much stronger message. So I feel like you could do a much better version of this today with, like, well, not to get it political, but with, like, certain people in mind, shall we say. But I also think it's offensively bad just because of Buck Cluck, because he is a really bad father, and the film doesn't seem to realize that in places.
Yeah. I think he's objectively the worst character in the film. He does have a redemption arc, and a redemption story, but by that point, yeah, dear.
There's a lot of positive things. It's too little, too late, and I don't think it's fully earned, and you could even make the argument that he is the villain of the film.
Yeah, in many ways.
The antagonist. And at least in like things like Cinderella and Hunchback and Entangled, the Ibiza parents are unambiguously evil, and the film knows it.
Yeah.
And is trying to like demonstrate it.
I think if you were to remake this today, or like have another crack at it, there are so many other things you could focus. You could still have the kind of the aliens plot and the Chicken Little being proved right, but you could have, like we said, the Foxy Loxy character kind of making him out to be even worse. Maybe like some sort of revenge plot for him stealing the fame from the baseball game.
Or Kel, you brought up that it felt Truman Show-esque. Maybe like the aliens could be like simulated by in some form or another, or be some elaborate conspiracy.
But a lot of it is thrown out for the kind of the cheap gags and the nonsensical kind of, all the popular people against the nerds, off you go, kind of way of thinking about stuff.
Mm-hmm. It was nice like to have, like, I did unironically like them throwing in Wannabe, but that song was like 8 years old at the time, so it's not exactly topical pop culture reference even then.
Yeah.
I actually think this is the worst film I've covered for this podcast so far.
It is. Is that what you think? Wow.
Yeah.
On the Range.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
As flawed as that film was. I think the fact that this is how Disney decided to we're going to dive into 3D animation to show that we're in the same leagues. I think this is the wrong film to do it, and they botched it in a lot of areas. The only Disney films I've covered so far, I think, are as bad or nearly as bad are some of the package films, the ones between Bambi and Cinderella.
Right.
The ones that aren't Legend of Sleepy Hollow, because that one's head and shoulders above the rest.
Hey.
One of the lesser of those.
Ra-da-da-da-da-da.
And I wish I could say this is the worst film this podcast is reviewing this year, but I know at least one that is worse.
Ooh.
I will say, in my opinion, it's not one of the Frozen films, I will say, but I'll leave that mystery for a future episode.
Hmm. Oh, how interesting.
Anything else? I should say it did make its money back and then some. It was the second highest grossing film of that year after Madagascar, but it didn't make the top 10 highest grossing films of that year. Do you know what number 10 was? So it was number 11. Do you know what number 10 was?
No.
No.
Pandy, what's your least favorite film of 2005?
Oh, wow. I guess it's something I did on Hey and Actor.
Yes.
Not Dark Tide.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's also one of your least favorite Will Smith films.
Oh, what, Bryce? Oh, no. No. Hitch?
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Hey.
Never watching that film again.
It was not well received critically. It got mainly mixed to negative reviews, and it actually got two nominations from the now-defunct Stinker's Bad Movie Awards, which listeners of Hey and Actor will know because of the Cat in the Hat review, you know, Spencer Breslin.
Yep, the Spencer Breslin Award for Worst Child Actor.
Yeah. It was nominated for Worst Picture, but it lost it to Alone in the Dark by Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll, what an arsehole.
But it did win a Worst Animated Picture Award from them.
Nice.
But that was actually the second to last year they were in effect. I mean, I think the Razzies is the only major bad movie award thing going now, or the only well-known one.
Hmm.
It's worth noting as well that for that year it was nominated for was it the Annie Awards? I think it was the Annie Awards, but they lost pretty much all the things to Curse the Were-Rabbit, the Wallace and Gromit film, which is infinitely a much, much better film on pretty much every level.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It's an interesting kind of step into Disney's future. And I can't remember. I think it's Meet the Robinsons next, isn't it?
Yes.
And I've never seen Meet the Robinsons, but that's another kind of early Disney 3D film. And I don't know, there's a big, like, there's a long way to go before they're able to do this kind of, you know, Frozen-esque quality
or
of animation.
Or Tangled. I think it's while before they hit their stride with this medium.
So this is their kind of, their Bambi-esque starting out. When I say Bambi-esque, I mean the deer, not the film.
Struggling on its nimbly legs.
Yes, quite. On a big frozen pond of ice that is 3D animated stuff.
Falling on its ass.
Yeah. We've just posted on Wikipedia the existence of the Chicken Little video games, because it was very much the era of the movie game tie-in, which I actually was part of that industry when I made the Pirates of the Caribbean at World End game as a QA tester on that game. But yeah, I'd be interested to see, you know, what that was like. Although, having thoughts about it, no, probably not. It'd probably be a collectathon load of rubbish. And it was also, as Disney properties are wont to do, in a Kingdom Hearts game, which I've never played any of them, but I know people do like them a lot. And it's noteworthy because he was in Kingdom Hearts 2 before the film actually came to Japan. So it's kind of used as promotion for the film. Which it's got to be quite a mind fuck, like a tiny chicken appearing in some sort of film. I don't know if Pig Out of Water. I keep calling it Pig Out of Water. If they're all there,
Fish out of water.
How very odd.
Anything else before we score it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What are you scoring at a 5, Kelly?
Okay. I think I'm going to go for a 2. Although I enjoyed some of the humour, especially the bag, the pig choking on the bag. it wasn't a standout film for me. So I think a 2 reflects it. It's not the worst film I've ever seen, but it's not up there with some of my favourite Disneys.
Okay. Pandy, what do you give this?
My initial thought was a 3 on the basis that it's not great, but it's not offensive. But I think it's going to have to be a 2 based on the fact that it's so thin on the ground and so devoid of substance in many ways. There are funny bits. They get a lot of things right, but the missteps well outweigh the praise. So I think it's going to have to be a 2 from me. It's not objectionably awful, in my opinion. So I'll do a 2. Okay.
Again, I wasn't as ranty about the song as I thought it would be, maybe because podcasting has become my happy place, so it's not where I bring my temper or where I can get really angry or publicly. But I think because it's not basically not a Disney film. It's basically a Disney film trying to be a DreamWorks film and doing it badly, because Buck Cluck is such a terrible father figure, and because the film doesn't seem aware of that, I have to give this a 1.
Yeah.
In fact, this is the first 1 I've ever doled out for an Earth 2 podcast movie review.
Ooh.
Like, Aaron and I did record one about the second Fantastic Beasts film, but which we never finished, and we're not continuing that segment because of Rowling and all that. And I haven't even seen the third one. That might have gotten a 1 or a 0. But yeah, this is my first 1 out of 5.
And ouch.
As I teased, the worst is yet to come, in my opinion.
You're in a bit of a kind of a downward trend, aren't you, the next few episodes?
Yeah, there are definitely highlights. But I think this, and up to, I mean, the early 2000s is considered like the second dark age of Disney, or the dark age of Disney. Up until now, I've enjoyed the films like Lilo and Stitch and Atlantis and Treasure Planet. I wasn't big on Brother Bear, but I don't think it was that, it didn't offend me, or I didn't dislike it as much as this film.
Despite Phil Collins.
Phil Collins is probably one of the better things about it. That's objectionable. And even Home on the Range wasn't as bad as I think this is.
Red alert! Man your battle stations! Status report, Mr. Fish.
Commander Little, the evil Fox Loxian army has broken through the planet's atmosphere.
But that means...
Yes, I know. The sky is falling.
Commander Little, no!
Please, call me Ace.
Oh, Ace, no!
I never intended to bring you into this. Abby. Runt, you copy?
Yes, Commander.
Runt, my friend. An alien fleet is about to invade Earth. Civilization as we know it depends on me. And to a lesser extent, you. So I've just got one question for you. Are you ready to rock?
Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low.
Raise your pork shield, Runt. Prepare to engage. Stay on target. Stay on target. Give him a taste of the other white meat.
Captain, look out!
Runt! Runt, are you all right?
No, no. You gotta go on without me, Commander. Just leave me some ammo, a little water, some chips if you have them.
This is amazingly accurate.
But before I say what we'll do next, anything you want to promote, Pandy?
Well, Hey An Actor is onto the Year of Redux, as in we've come to 100 episodes, and now we're doing a bit of a victory lap by going back over some of the actors that we've done before with some new films that maybe we should have done when we first covered them on our episodes. Or maybe it's just a new way of looking at them. We started last month with the film Bright, the amazing Netflix Wands in My Will Smith Waiter film. It's a bit atrocious, but it's fun to talk.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Holy shit. But yeah, so that was fun. And then we're about to cover Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. And then moving on to Amy Adams. So yeah, it's going to be a fun year.
Cool. I love your Bright review in particular. I re-listened to it this morning. It's a definite nominee for best review of... I mean, not to do down your future ones, but it's a definite nominee for favorite review.
Well,
you should see his head blowing up right now.
Shush. It's because I've just been attacked by some aliens. it's what we found recording it, and I don't know if it'll carry on through the year, is that because these are films we've seen before, or we've chosen like noteworthy films, we've got a lot to say that we say them quite quickly. So actually, the episodes are quite short. It'll be interesting to see how that rolls on through the year.
Well, no, I think with the Will Smith one, you didn't like recap his early career. You just like continued from when you were before, right?
And thank God for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm enjoying that so far. Kelly, do you have any projects or stuff you want to promote?
Nope. I lead a boring life.
Aww. Oh, you're doing quite a lot of crocheting at the moment.
I haven't picked it up in about 2 weeks.
Well, you bought some yarn yesterday.
Yes, I did.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Kel would like to promote her Dungeons & Dragons character, Lilliput Miggledy, who is a tiny forest gnome druid and has a pet hedgehog.
Called Prickles.
Cool.
That's it for me.
Cool. So next step for this podcast is Meet the Robinsons, which I'll be doing that with Will, not Will Robinson, but Will Ackerman. Danger Will Ackerman. No, he's fine. He's not dangerous, I don't think. Say much about that one. Except that, like Chicken Little, I've only seen that one once, and it was a while ago. So it's a bit of a can of worms, this phase, this stretch of... the Disney Odyssey, I guess.
Mm.
This particular stretch leading up to Princess and the Frog and Tangled. So,
Yeah, I've never seen this film before.
It involves time travel, I will say.
I can see it on a poster of it. There's a big dinosaur.
Yep, the T-Rex. And has nothing to do with Swiss Family Robinson or Robinson Crusoe. Just like this film has little to do with Henny Penny.
Hey!
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future, forget my past.
She got G like MC, you liked it on a easy V, you doesn't come for free, she's a real lady. And as for me, how you'll see, slam your body down and wind it all around, slam your body down and wind it all around.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends, make it last forever, friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give, taking it too easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover,
should we just close it with that, or do you have like any egg puns to any excellent puns to close it?
Oh, hey, I did have one thing to say. Well, thanks for having us, Christian.
You're welcome. Do you want to? Are you so?
This will be. I was going to come off the back of that.
Okay.
So basically, I need a feed into us leaving.
Music, you mean?
No. Actually, I've got it. What we'll do is, well, thanks very much, Christian, for having us. As for me and Kel, we're going to go off because it's pussy time.
Disgraceful.
I think you have that in your face right now.
Related. I was waiting for an egg joke. Disgusting.
You were waiting for an egg yolk. that was a shell of a pun. Oh, I'm sorry, Kel. Forgive me.
Oh, please.
Oh, for cluck's sake.
Cluck off.
There you go. That's the spirit.